a morning at today's daf and tomorrow's daf yud. We are on Tesamud Beis. We're starting right in the middle of the Amud at the two dots Amar Rav Yehoshua ben Levi. Gemara's discussion took us back to tomorrow, as that's the Masechta that we're learning, and specifically the Mishnah that talks about how many times can you use an animal to affect tomorrow. So according to the Chachamim, unlimited. An animal's capacity to affect tomorrow is an unlimited capacity, so you can just keep using it again and again. You can even use it for multiple animals at one time. And so an ability's animal to affect tomorrow goes again and again. Rabbi Shimon, however, is limiting. That we could say conclusively. Rabbi Shimon says that you can only affect tomorrow one at a time. Now, it's not clear from Rabbi Shimon whether or not there's a... Basically, there's one bullet in the gun. Sorry for the analogy. It's just, you know. But there's only one bullet in the gun, or is it just that according to Rabbi Shimon, you can only do it one at a time? So this was the machlokas yesterday between Reish Lakish and Rabbi Yochanan within the shita of Rabbi Shimon. Back yesterday, Rabbi Shimon, Reish Lakish taught us that according to Rabbi Shimon, Memirin v'chozer memirin. So you could do it multiple times. You could just do it one at a time. But then there's the sheet of Rabbi Yochanan within the sheet of Rabbi Shimon, and that is no. That you can only affect tomorrow once with an animal. An animal only has a one-time opportunity to affect tomorrow to bring the Kedusha over to another animal. After that, that's it. In other words, the animal now has been exhausted of its Kedusha capacity to affect tomorrow. Obviously, it still maintains to be a carbon. It still will be a carbon. But its ability to affect tomorrow to another animal has been exhausted after one time. Yesterday in the Gemara wanted to probe within the Shita of Reish Lakish, within Rabbi Shimon, this idea that an animal can only be exhausted one time. What if I make changes in the Kedusha of the animal? Let's say notably that I move the Kedusha from one animal to another animal. How can you do that regarding carbon? So with a process called chilul. The process of chilul says that if a carbon gets a mum, so it obviously is going to have to be deconsecrated. What you could do is you could just simply shift over the deconsecration from one animal directly over to another animal. So if I make now that kind of change where I'm moving the Kedusha over to a new animal, same Kedusha, but I move it over to a new animal. So is that a reload according to Rabbi Shimon? That was one question we asked yesterday. Another question we asked yesterday is, what if I don't move the Kedusha over to another carbon, but what if I change the Kedusha to carbon? Now, this is a really limited discussion, as you can only do it by one type of carbon. Although yesterday, as pointed out, in Carbon Pesach Shlamim, you do have similar model where it does move over to another type of carbon, but it's not a dramatic change to go from a Carbon Pesach to a Shlamim, but still, it's true that there are other areas in Halacha you could do this, but when it comes to a carbon ashram can be reassigned to become a carbon ola under limited circumstances, but it can. If I then went ahead and affected tomorrow with the carbon ashram, but then I changed it into a carbon ola, so would that be enough to reload and so that this animal now could affect tomorrow once again? So these are the probing questions, Rabbi Avin. We had two versions of how we said over the question. One version of how we said over the question yesterday, the Bavli version, if you will, is that really he took the two and he compounded them. And he created a scenario in which you had both. You had both a Shinui Haguf and you had a Shinui Kedusha. And is that enough to reload it? Now, obviously, as the Gemara pointed out yesterday, even this first version, he was really asking each variable in of itself. But what if I compounded it? What would we say then? The second version, which we ran through yesterday, was the Yerushalmi version. It's effectively the same point. It's just that instead of asking it as a compound question, he asked each question individually. Okay. With that stated, the Gemara now is going to take us off on a small tangent, but the idea is going to be a very similar idea. We're going to talk now the same thing regarding the redemption of something that you are makdish. An owner was makdish an item, and now he wants to redeem it. So he has to add on a chomish. A chomish translates as a fifth, but mathematically it's a quarter. He's going to have to add on another 25% when he redeems it. Okay? Now this idea that you, the owner, are going to have to add a 25% surcharge to redeem something is only talking about primary kedusha. But once something becomes a derivative kedusha, so then you do not add on this 25% surcharge. What are examples of having derivative kedusha? So we can come up with numerous examples. One, an example that we just outlined, where I took an animal and a carbon, and it becomes now a balmum. And what I then do is I'm mechalal, I then transfer the kedusha, I deconsecrate it directly onto another animal. That secondary animal is going to be considered derivative. And in the event that that animal is going to be redeemed, that animal is not going to be redeemed at 25 with a 25% surcharge, but just simply at its face value. Another example of derivative kedusha that's not going to have 25% surcharge, tamura. If I go ahead and transfer the kedusha from one animal to another animal through tamura, again, not supposed to, lav in the Torah, subject to malchus, but if I do so, so that secondary animal is considered a derivative animal. If that secondary animal becomes blemished and I'm going to redeem that animal, I don't add on the 25% surcharge. Okay. And that is the ABCs of adding on a chomish when redeeming something that you are makdish. This is specific to the owner when the owner is makdish it and he wants to redeem it. And so now the ensuing discussion in the Gemara. Amar Rav Yishuv ben Levi, hektish rishon mosif chomish, vein hektish sheni mosif chomish. Okay, nice and simple. The Gemara outlined for us the basic rule as I already presented. You only add a chomish to the principal, to the primary kedusha, but not to any kind of secondary or derivative kedusha. Amar Papa, my time under Rav Yishuv ben Levi, and that's based on what Amar Krah, the pasuk says, vein hektish igal, v'im hamaktish igal es beisov yasav chamishis. Maktish v'lo hamatves. Okay, so maktish, meaning the act of being maktish and giving something its primary kedusha, then and only then do you add a chomish. But if it is not the primary kedusha, if it is the secondary kedusha, like the examples that we just laid out, so then you do not add on a chomish. Good. We have the rule. And so now basically what we're going to do is as follows. We're going to be asking a series of questions very similar to the ones that we asked at the end of yesterday's daf, and so the Gemara goes over the point. By Ravi Avin, hifrish hashem lis kapra bo. So let's go over the scenario in which you were mafrish a karban hashem, and then v'humam, and then it got a blemish, v'ahusif alav chomish v'chil lo. And so now you're redeeming it, and because you're redeeming now the principle, the primary kedusha, the primary carbon that you were makdish, so therefore you have to add a 25% surcharge. Now, v'nis kapra b'asham acher v'nitak zel la'olam. And now what happens is that you then lost this carbon that you transferred the kedusha on, and so therefore you got a replacement. And therefore, and after having gotten the replacement and used the replacement, you found the original. The original now is going to be shifted over from a carbon ashram to a carbon ola. And now Maushe Yosef Alav Chomish. And so now basically what happened is as follows. There are basically two things now that have happened. One is that I've changed the kedusha from one animal to another. Two, I've changed the nature of the carbon from being a carbon ashram to a carbon ola. And so, here we go once again, same question that we asked yesterday. With these two changes, can I basically say that even though this is a derivative, but with all the newness about it, new animal, new type of carbon. So with all the newness about it, can we consider it to be now a primary carbon in which you're going to be adding a chomish? Amar Abaye, and here we go now with the same series of back and forth that we saw yesterday. So the Gemara says, if we're talking about where I just want newness in terms of a new guf, so then leave out the idea of it transferring from being an ashram to an ola. And if I want to just isolate the variable of it changing from a carbon ashram to a carbon ola, fine. So then just discuss it from the context of changing carbon without having to be mechala onto another animal. And Rabbi Avin was basically saying, you're right. Each question in of itself deserves its own attention. I was just asking the compound, assuming that we're going to get a resolution to one of the independent questions. So here, this is just simply the latter of Rabbi Avin. If, let's say, Shtei Kedushin is not enough to make it a primary Kedusha, because you'll tell me that it's still the same kind of carbon, so Shnei Gufin, Shnei Kedusha is my. So, but what if I had another variable? What if it's now a second animal and it's a new type of carbon? What would we say under those circumstances? Teku, and now after the Gemara clarified Rabbi Avin, where he was really asking each question independently. He then just wanted to know, what if I compound the two variables together? What would be the halacha? So the Gemara teku, the Gemara leaves us off unresolved. Lishna achrina. The Gemara now is going to do the same thing. The Gemara is going to go over the same discussion again in a slightly different version. This is, again, the same format that we saw yesterday. By Rabbi Avin Hifresh Hashem Liz Kaper Bo. A person set aside a Karban Hashem. V'humam. And he got a blemish. V'chilulu al acher. And then he redeemed it unto another animal. V'hosif chomish. Now in that first redemption, obviously, he's going to be adding a chomish. Niskaper ba'asham acher. This is now moving on to another case where he's niskaper with an asham. V'nitek zel ola. And what happens is that he lost the original asham. And so therefore he got a replacement. And now the original asham now converts into an ola mahu. Shiosif alav chomish. So he added a chomish. So in the second version, these questions were not asked on a compound basis, but rather each variable was isolated, and Rabbi Avin was asking each question independently. Shnei gufin, what would be the halacha? Guf echad, but two different karbanos, what would be the halacha? Would you have to add a chomish on it? Is there enough of a change so that we can consider this to be panim chadashos, a new entity, so that you would be adding a surcharge of a chomish? Amar Abaye. So hadein kami baye lei. So Abaye says to Rabbi Avin, in our second version, basically, which question is really bothering you? Which is your primary question? If really what you're worried about, or your concern, your primary concern is where it's too kedusha, so then just give me the case of where the animal gets blemished. And iguf echad ba'uso kedusha v'chilo acher ma'ush yosef ala chomish mi'amina ba'ashem kamahu demosif ava beguf acher. The Gemara here is just simply amplifying the question. So what is the halacha regarding secondary kedushas? Is secondary kedushas going to not be subject to the surcharge? Because secondary kedushas, we're still dealing basically with the primary animal, where I'm now redeeming a second time. So under those circumstances, I don't add a surcharge. But over here, I moved the kedusha over to a new animal. New animal, even though it is a kedusha bouncing off a primary kedusha, but it's on a new animal, so maybe under those circumstances we'll say there will be mosif chamish. Odilma kol osa kedusha ain't a mosif chamish. Or maybe no. Maybe by virtue of the fact that it is still emanating from the original kedusha of the first animal, so therefore this is not going to be something in which we're going to be adding on a chamish. V'imtim salamah hadin gavecha kevin deba osa kedusha kaim mosif chamish. So the Gemara says, and maybe you'll tell me that this was never really a concern or consideration, because it is still Kedusha Achas, it's still one Kedusha, and so therefore you're not going to be adding on a Chomish. So then, Elon is Kaper Ba'achav and Intak Zela Olamahu. Let's go to the other question you asked, where the animal was an Asham, and because we lost it and replaced it, and now found the original animal, we're going to move it over to an Ola, reassign it to an Ola. So Ki Mosif Chomish Boso Hagov Boso Kedusha. When is it that you're not going to be adding on a Chomish for a derivative kedusha? That's if we are talking about where it is effectively the same type of carbon. Avav kedusha acher is lo. But over here now, even though it's the same animal, but it's a new type of carbon, it's no longer an ocean, but rather it's an ola, so then I would not, it's not considered a derivative kedusha, it's considered a new kedusha, and therefore you would have to add on a chomish. Odilma kevedo so agufu, mosif chomish, or maybe no. Maybe because it is the same body, the same entity. So under those circumstances, it would require a chomish, because it's really still essentially the same animal, even though it's a new type of carbon. Again, same format that we saw yesterday. It just, instead of asking the question regarding tumura and the shita Rabbi Shimon, where you can only discharge a tumura replication one time and that's it. What if I create newness to the carbon? Either I moved the kedusha over to a new animal, so that's newness in terms of guf, or I changed it from an asham and ola, that's newness in terms of carbon type. Is that going to be either one of them going to make it a new enough animal where, according to Rabbi Shimon, you can affect tamura once again? Same thing regarding being podeh your hektesh. You're only podeh, you only add a chomish to your hektesh when it is a primary kedusha, not a secondary kedusha. If in the secondary kedusha I add an element of newness, either new entity, new body, or new type of carbon, is that going to reset so that you're going to be adding a chumash? These are the various questions that are asked by Rav Avin. Gemara continues now in Daf Yudam and Aleph by Rami Bar Chama, Makdish Mosif Chumash or Mechaper Mosif Chumash. I know it sounds like a familiar question, We raised this in the beginning of the Masechta. But the Gemara now is going to be discussing a little bit more. Who is adding on the Chumash? Is it the Maktish or is it the Mechaper? If I see that you need to bring a carbon, you're right now in a pinch and you cannot afford a carbon, I sponsor the carbon for you. So we have now a split in terms of quote-unquote ownership of the carbon. Who is the owner of the carbon? Well, the truth of the matter is nobody's the owner of the carbon. Carbon is going to be brought to the Beis HaMikdash and provide kapara. But in terms of executive power over the carbon, who is considered more of its owner? So is it the one who sponsored, that's the Makdish, or is it the one who is providing a kapara for, the Mechaper? So when redeeming the animal, who is going to be adding on the fifth? Is it going to be the Makdish or is it going to be the Mechaper? Amarava, Amakrava, Imhim Makdish Igalas Beiso, Makdish Velo Miskaper. So Rava had a really clear and decisive answer based on a pasuk in the Torah. The Torah says, Hamakdish Igal Es Beiso, the one who is providing the Kedusha, who is imbuing the animal with the Kedusha, that is the owner of the animal, transforming it from Echulin into Mugdashim, he is the one who's going to be adding on Echomish, and not the Mechaper, not the one who's receiving the Kapar benefit. Here we go. Question that we also asked earlier in the Masechta. Who is the one who is going to be able to affect the Temura? Is it going to be the Makdish or is it going to be Miskaper? Again, we're talking about a case where one person sponsors a carbon on behalf of somebody else. And so therefore you have this split between the one who is Makdishit and the one who is receiving the Kapara. Who has the right, the ability to affect Temura? Amarava. So Rava over here gives an argument. Now this argument is brand new. We have not seen this. We saw the discussion earlier in the Masechta, but the argument of Rava we have not seen earlier. And here's the argument of Rava. Im came at Sinat Sibor Vishut for most in Temura. So if you're going to tell me the answer is that the Mechaper is going to be the one affecting Temura, so then we're going to arrive at a halachic impossibility, which is we're going to find now that a Sibor or a partnership, a community or a partnership, can affect Temura. Now, in order to appreciate Rava's point, let's go over a couple of things. Rule number one, which we're going to see together, is that in terms of who can affect Temura, only a carbon which is privately owned. Privately owned and individually owned. So in other words, if you have a community owning a carbon, like a carbon Sibor, so then you cannot affect Temura with such a carbon. Even if you have a group, a private entity group, owning a carbon, they too cannot affect Temura. Temura can only be affected by a carbon that is privately owned by one individual. So that's point number one. We're going to see that together. So now, consider the following scenario. Take a look at Rashi over here. Rashi spells out the scenario. I'm reading the Rashi inside. Rashi is just where we are alongside the Gemara on the right-hand side. The Kamalan. Havale Mosifim Chomish Impodin Es Hektei Sham. So, the... Im Kane. Sorry, next Rashi. The... It's really the same point, the two Rashis. Okay. But anyway, Im Kane. Let's start with this Rashi. Im Kane, the Makdish Ose Temura, Matsina Temura B'tzibor, V'shut, V'hechi Dami. What would be the example? Rashi spells out the case scenario. Kigon D'shavut Tzibor O'shut Fim Shliach La'akdushe Karban Alayhu. Let's say we have the following scenario. We have a group. Either it's the Tzibor or it could just be a partnership group. Either way. And what they do is they point a Shliach to make a carbon for them. Dahashta have a Makdish Yachid. Now, in terms of who is the Makdish, so they ask one person to do so. Now, it's interesting, by the way, if they ask them to do so as a Shliach, and we generally understand Shlichus as just simply being agency, so then the Shliach is not really working as an independent contractor, but the Shliach is basically just part of the group. So it is interesting over here, we're using the term Shlichus, I would suspect and suggest that the word shliach over here, not to be understood in its most classic sense of agency, because otherwise, what have we really gained in this scenario? He's just simply representing the group. So shliach over here, right, something more like a donor, a sponsor, something along those lines. Anyway, so la'akdusha karban alayu dahasha have a makdish yachid. So here's what we're going to have. We're going to have now the makdish being an individual, and Karina Bey Karban Yachid, Ibasu Dideas Linan. And so now, if we went after the Makdish, so here's the result that's going to be. The result that's going to be is that if we're saying now that the Mechaper can affect Temura, So now we find a group affecting Temura, a halachic impossibility. Because Rashi points out, Anan Tanan B'Shalim Masnisin Hatzibar V'Ashufim Enosin Temura. Neither a community or a partnership group could affect Temura. So Ella Basar Miskaper Azlin and Hilkach Ein Karbana Usa Temura. So it must be that we follow the Miskaper to arrive at the conclusion that it's not the Makdish that's going to be the determinant of whether or not you can affect Temura with it, but rather it's going to be the Mechaper. Hol V'Rabbi Miskaper Mbo V'lo Karina Be Karban Yachid. And that disallows us from calling it a Karban Yachid. V'anan Gamrin L'Kamen Mimaisa De Karban Yachid Osa Temura V'lo Tzibar V'Shutim. In terms of how we know that a group, either a Tzibor or a partnership group, cannot affect Temura, Rashi says we're going to learn that together a little bit later on, not today. Anyway, so what comes out now is as follows. Rami Bar Chama asked the question, who's the one that can affect the Temura, the sponsor or the ones receiving Kapara? So Rava says, if you're going to tell me the sponsor, so then that means then that we're going to basically have a group being able to affect Temura with their Karban, and that's a halachic impossibility, if in fact the sponsor is an individual. To which, and that's one point. And the Gemara very succinctly gives a scenario. We amplified the scenario in Rashi. So that's problem number one. Problem number one is that a halachic impossibility. If in fact we're looking at the Makdish. Another problem is the following. Go back to Parshas Naso, and where the Torah introduces us to the halachas of Nazir and the carbon of a Nazir. Now, by carbon of a Nazir, the Pasuk says something which is strange and a little confounding. The Torah says regarding the Nazir, Ashir Tasig Yado. You know what he can afford? What he can afford, meaning when it comes to some carbonists in the Torah, there is a dispensation for bringing a cheaper carbon based on your financial status. Carbon Nazir is not one of them. And so, V'chi Nazir Nidon Behesig Yad? What are you talking about? A Nazir carbon is not going to be given any kind of scholarship, any kind of dispensation. So Hakeit said Karban Ola Hashem on the Zor Sheyifrish Mishalo, Mavar Asher Tasig Yado Sheyifrishu Lo Acherim. So the Gemara says, so what we're learning over here is as follows, is that you have to, in order for a Nazir to bring a carbon, to successfully bring a carbon, either he'll sponsor his own carbon, in other words, he'll pay for it himself, or Asher Tasig Yado Sheyifrishu Lo Acherim, or maybe others sponsor the carbon for him, if in fact he's in a position where he can't afford it. So over here, how does scholarship work when it comes to Nazir? It's really simple. There is no scholarship. There is no financial consideration. There's just simply sponsorship. Somebody else will have to sponsor his carbon in the event that he can't afford it. Okay, now, good. So this is a point regarding a Nazir that either he'll pay for it or somebody else will pay for it. So the Gemara says, now what was the point of that entire drasha? Just to tell me that somebody else can pay for his carbon? Isn't that obvious? Isn't that going to be like, not? We don't need a pasuk to teach us this point? So it must be that there, the drasha is there to teach us the halacha regarding Temura, notably. Even though somebody else is sponsoring the carbon, he, the mechaper, the one who's achieving kapara through the carbon, he's the one that can affect Temura. So the Gemara says, so from these two points that we just illustrated, one, the carbon sibor, or a partnership group that gets an individual to sponsor the carbon, bringing us to a halachic impossibility, which is that it is, if we're looking at the Makdish as being the one who can affect Temura, so we're having a group carbon where you can affect Temura, but that's impossible, a halachic impossibility. The second point is the drasha regarding the Nazir. Somebody sponsoring the carbon, and the Torah says, and that works. What does that mean that works? We know that works. Oh, well, what it must mean is that even though somebody else paid for the carbon, he, the Nazir, who is receiving kapara, he can affect Temura. Okay, so for these two logical drasha arguments, for these two arguments now, it seems very clear that the Mechaper is the one who can affect Temura. The Gemara says not necessarily. Lo le'inyan Temura de kakashilach.
To buy his own carbon, but he has another carbon to make it more. That doesn't make that much sense.
he has a really cheap animal. Okay. Okay. Lo le'inyan Temura. The Gemara says lo le'inyan Temura. So the Gemara says, well, as far as the second argument is concerned, you know, we can push back on that second argument. Because what did you tell me? The whole point of the drasha is to tell me that somebody else pays for a carbon? Maybe that is a chiddush. Meaning the Gemara earlier said, that's pshita, that's obvious. Maybe not. And what did you say earlier? It's so obvious because it's a gift. The Gemara says, okay, I believe in gifts. Actually, the Pasuk in Mishlei says you should be stubborn in terms of receiving gifts, but the Gemara says, I'll tell you what the Havamina would have been. Havamina would have been is that you want to be a Nazir? Okay, that was your decision. And so therefore now you becoming a Nazir, so now you know how you conclude your Nazirus? By you having to pay for that carbon. This was elective. You decide to be a Nazir in order to finish and conclude your Nazirus, you have to pay the carbonos. Maybe in other areas in a halacha, you can have sponsorship and somebody else pay a carbon. But the Havamina would have been that here, the only way the carbon would work is that if you go ahead and pay for your own carbon. That is the Havamina in which the Torah now has to tell us, no, even here there could be a sponsorship opportunity. But it doesn't teach us anything regarding Temura. It tells us something basic regarding just can a sponsored carbon work by Nazirus? That could be the entire point of the Pasuk. Kamash Malan. So that's the Chiddush. My Havi Allah. Okay, so question was raised. In terms of Temura, who can affect Temura? The Makdish or the Mechaber? So even though we just gave two arguments, the Gemara poked a hole in that second argument. And the first argument is an argument, but the Gemara wants to know what's the conclusion. Tashma, Damar Rabbi Abba, Amar Rav Yochanan. So the Gemara gives a very decisive conclusion. Makdish Mosif Chomish. That in terms of who is the one who is going to be adding on a fifth when redeeming the Makdish or the Mechaper, so there it's going to be the Makdish. Like we said earlier, but now the Gemara is just simply wrapping up the discussion. So the Makdish adds the Chomish if he's going to redeem it. Umiskaper osa Temura, in fact, of who on the question of who can affect Temura, it's going to be the Mechaper, the one who's going to be receiving the Kapara. And finally, the third Halacha Tar Mishalosh, Shalachem, Tovasana, Shalom. Now, let's say I decide, right, we're two farmers that are next door neighbors to one another. And so for so many years, you've been doing good for me. You know what? This year on Trumas and Maestros, I'm going to do you a solid. I'm going to be mafresh my Trumas and Maestros onto your produce. Good. So I'm sponsoring you. I'm paying your Trumas and Maestros taxes. Totally legit. Perfectly allowable. Who's going to be receiving the Tova Sana? Now, we'll say it over like Rashi, although the truth of the matter is Rashi on this sugya, a little bit confusing because Rashi actually offers two pshatim of Tova Sana. But we'll go with the classic shot and the one that Rashi first introduces us to, and that is, who decides which Kohen is going to be the recipient? Is it going to be the one who is receiving the benefit of the Trumas and Maestros, or is it the one that's going to be sponsoring? So I know what the intuitive answer is. Here, the halacha actually is going to conform with the intuitive answer, or better stated, my intuitive answer. I don't know what yours is. So the Gemara says, Tarmi Shalal Shalachem Tovas Ana Shalal my Taima. So it's going to be the Tarim. The one who is actually sponsoring the Trumas HaMaisos, he's the one who's going to be able to decide which Kohen it's going to go to. My time, I'm a Christ called Maser Tvosecha Vinasata. That the one who separates the Maiser, he's the one who's going to be giving it to the Kohen. Even though the Trumas HaMaisos are there to be masaking somebody else's produce, but it's the one standing it aside, he's the one who decides which Kohen it goes to. Mishnah. The Mishnah on Yud Amud Aleph, Ein Mamir Lo, Eivarim Be'uvrim Velo, Uvrim Be'eivarim. In terms of Temura, it's animal to animal. And over here, not pieces of animal. So the Mishnah goes through various scenarios. You cannot affect Temura from a limb to a fetus. And let's assume right now we're talking about the limb of one animal to the fetus of another animal. Velo ubrim be'evarim. Not the fetus of one animal to the limb of another animal. Velo ubrim be'evarim b'shleimim. And not a limb let me translate in correct order. Not a fetus or a limb to a whole animal. Velo shleimim bahem. And not a whole animal to either the fetus or a limb. So in other words, basically, Temura is animal to animal, period. Now, Rebbe Yossi Omer, memirin evarim b'shleimim. Avalo shleimim bahem. Now, Rebbe Yossi is of the opinion that Temura can be affected from a limb to a shalem. But not from a shalem to it, to the limb. I'm Rav Yossi. Now, this is an explanation of Rav Yossi. Why should that be? Valoba mukdashim ha'omer raglashozu ola. Kula ola. Rav Yossi has a concept that we're going to be spending some time talking about, more tomorrow than today, and that's the idea of hispashtas. His pashas means as follows. If I imbue a limb of an animal, even if it's a non-vital limb, if I imbue a limb of an animal with kedusha, kedusha saguf, so it will spread. And it will spread to the entirety of the animal. This is the concept known of his pashtos. So Reb Yossi says, I subscribe to it. Now we're going to see other tanaim do not. Reb Yossi says, I subscribe to his pashtos, and that means that when I'm makdish the leg of an animal, the kedusha now spreads out throughout the entire animal. Avkish yomer ragla shel zu tachat zu tekula tamura tachtaha. Similarly, says Reb Yossi, if I'm now going to affect tamura, what is tamura? I'm being makdish an animal. Granted, I'm doing so in an illicit manner, in a manner in which the Torah does not favor, but still, it is being makdish. So Rav Yossi says, so if the primary, if the principal kedusha on a leg spreads out to the rest of the animal, well, so will tamura as well. So kula alaf kishama raglazu ishalzu tachazu te kula tamura tachtaha. Fine. So that's the opinion of Rav Yossi, more to be discussed and explored within the Shita of Rav Yossi. But here now, let's begin the discussion of Bar Pada and Rav Yochanan. Bar Pada over here, by the way, Tosfos identifies Bar Pada, the nephew of Bar Kapara. It can be confused with another, with a Ben Pedas, which is somebody else. Okay. Anyway, the Tosfos was super interested. We see this time and again in terms of properly identifying the Tanaim and the Amoraim. This discussion that we're going to start right now is a great discussion. It's basically the topic of Uber Yerech Imo, Uber Lav Yerech Imo. I know we've had it numerous times throughout Shas, but this is one of the principal and primary locations where we're going to be having the discussion. Basically, to look at the nature of a fetus in utero of its mother. The fetus, we're here talking almost principally and primarily about animals. The fetus inside of the animal, is it considered an appendage to the mother? Is it considered a separate entity that right now is just hosted by the mother? And so this is a classic discussion that occurs throughout Shas. And today's daf, tomorrow daf Yud, and tomorrow's daf as well, Yud Aleph, are going to be principal places in which we're going to be having the discussion of how to look at a fetus. Now, our Mishnah obviously speaks to this idea, because the Mishnah over here talks about not being able to do tamura with a fetus in either direction, either at it being the source of the tamura, or it being on the receiving end of the tamura. So clearly what's going to happen a little bit later on is that our Mishnah is going to play a role in this discussion. But first let's introduce ourselves to the principal positions of this discussion, and that's Bar Pada and Rav Yochanan. Itmar, Bar Pada Amar in Kedusha Chala Ala Ubrim, Rav Yochanan Amar Kedusha Chala Ala Ubrim. Okay, so Bar Pada says that Kedusha will not take effect on a fetus, and Rav Yochanan says that Kedusha will take effect on a fetus. Some really important Rashis that we're going to go through together inside. As Rashi over here lays out the parameters of this debate. Rashi on the Gemara in Kedusha Chala Ala Ubrim, Im Hikdash Uber Behema Eino Kadosh LeKarev. So let's start off with a really nice, simple example of what we mean according to Bar Pada. If let's say I know that this animal is pregnant, and I try to inject Kedusha just into the fetus, so according to Bar Pada, what you said is meaningless. There is no Kedusha that will take effect in the fetus. Just to make sure that the point is totally amplified, Rashi says, let's say after you're makdish the fetus while in utero, then it then experiences birth, and it grows up just a little bit. It only needs to become 8 days old. And then you offer it as a carbon. What you have just done is you've offered chulin in the azara. It's nothing, according to Bar Pada, if you attempted to be makdish it in utero. Rashi does point out, if after it emerges you want to makdish it again, good for you. Then that you can do, but not in utero. V'im hifrish chatas mu'uberes. Rashi gives another example of how this would play out. Let's say you are required to bring a carbon chatas. And so the chatas comes from a female animal, so therefore it can become pregnant, and it can have a uterus inside, and in fact it does. I said uterus, by the way. I heard myself. So they a fetus. Okay, and it has a fetus inside. It's always going to have a uterus inside, although I know that's not always true. I know. most of the time. Anyway, it has a fetus inside. Now, in order to appreciate this next point of Rashi, here's a point that we got over numerous times, and in Masechta Tamura, we get to hear this a lot of times. And that is the idea of a carbon chatos. Now, a carbon chatos, there are five carbon chatos that are relegated to death, right? Chamesh chatos that are mesos, that are going to be disposed of. So over here, chatoshin skapu b'acher is one of the five. We're not going to go through all five right now. So one of the five is where I have a carbon chatos where I lost it. I used another one in its place, and then I found the original. So under those circumstances, unlike a carbon ashram, which we just learned this morning, which is going to be reassigned to a carbon olah, so when it comes to a chatas, it's lemisa. It's going to be assigned for disposal. It, literally death, but in other words, death meaning not through shechita, not through, right? In other words, disposal. Okay, you put it in a pen, you don't feed it, and it will die. So the so this halacha is correct. Halacha l'Moshe Mi-Sinai, it's accurate. However, if a person, let's say, is a nervous individual with a nervous personality, which is fine, Torah allows for different personalities, and he decides that, you know what, I'm chayav karban chatas, I'm nervous. I'm going to bring an animal, and something can happen to the animal, because things do happen to an animal. So what I want to do is I'm going to set aside two karban chatases, but one of them is just simply an insurance policy for the second. So under those circumstances, when I use the first one, I don't need to dispose of the second one. The second one only comes along as an insurance policy. And so this is what's called achatas le'achrayas. Under those circumstances, there's no need to dispose of the second one. What do you do with the second one, by the way? It did have kedushas aguf. So what you're going to do is you're going to wait till it gets a blemish and then you're going to redeem it. Okay. In other words, but you don't need to dispose of it. So let's say now a person was makdish his pregnant carbon chatas. According to Bar Pada, so you know how many animals you are just makdish? One. Only the mother, not the fetus in utero. So the fetus inside, by the way, the fetus inside will have kedusha, but only by dint, by the fact that it's inside of the mother. It's an appendage. According to Bar Pada, it's still considered an appendage of the mother. It's going to have kedusha, but only as a continuum of the mother. So that means to say that this is a Vlad Chatas, which is Holech Lemisa, another one of the Chatas that are going to be disposed of. V'chein l'chol devarav harei kevlad kachim v'lo kitzchilas hekdesh. But what you can't do, according to Bar Pada, is you cannot initiate Kedusha to a fetus in utero. Okay, good. That's all the opinion of Bar Pada. Now, Rav Yochanan, on the other hand, says no, that you can initiate Kedusha onto a fetus in utero. Let's take a look together at the next Rashi. These Rashis are really important, and that's why I'm spending time on these Rashis. I mean, every Rashi is important, but these Rashis really speak to basic ideas of the Gemara. According to Rav Yochanan, yes, of course, there's a Vlad Chatas. That's one of the five Chatas Amesos. But that's talking about a scenario in which you are makdish an animal, a carbon chatas that was not pregnant. Subsequently, it becomes pregnant. Under those circumstances, that's considered a Vlad Chatas, which is Holech Lemisa. However, Aval, E Afreshe Me'uberes, according to Rav Yochanan, if you are makdish the carbon chatas while it was pregnant, Chashuv Uber Kebehema Acheres, V'chayla Alea Kedushas Ba'an Pei Nafshe. So that means that according to Rav Yochanan, what you have effectively done is you are makdish two animals, the mother and its fetus. Because Rav Yochanan views them as independent entities. Okay. So this is all about the opinion of Rav Yochanan. So we have now a major divide between Bar Pada and Rav Yochanan in terms of how to look at the fetus in utero. Is it considered nothing but just an appendage of the mother? That's Bar Pada. And so therefore, I can't be makdish it, or according to Rav Yochanan, the fetus inside is considered an independent entity. Obviously hosted by the mother, biologically needs its mother, but halachically an independent entity. And therefore, I can be makdish the fetus, and by the way, to the exclusion of the mother if I want to. Okay, all this will be spoken about.
So when somebody brings a chatat, what is the opinion?
Wait, just one second.
Which one?
Huh?
If they were a korban, a pregnant one,
either one you want. If you are going to bring an insurance chatas, so you can choose which one you want to bring. If you're going to bring it as achrayas.
Yeah, no, I'm talking a pregnant one.
Again, same halacha. Either one you want, as long as it has given birth. If it hasn't given birth, so then you can't bring it. But that's just a pragmatic issue. Okay, so Bar Pada Amar Kedusha Chal Al Ubrin, Rav Yochanan Amar Kedusha Chal Al Ubrin. Now the back to the Gemara, we're going to see now the Gemara. where this is Rav Yochanan being consistent. Dam Rav Yochanan hikdash chatas merbaras v'yalda ratzah ba miskaper ratzah ba v'lada miskaper, where you can be miskaper both with it and its offspring, even though you are makdash it was in utero. Now I know we already made this point, but I read the Rashi's ahead of time. So in other words, we got this point already from Rashi, but here is the Gemara actually introducing Rav Yochanan clearly. Utsricha. Now the truth of the matter, says the Gemara, that Rav Yochanan really made 2 points. Now they're the same point, but the Gemara says that both points are necessary. Again, the first point of Rav Yochanan is that you can initiate Kedusha on the fetus to the exclusion of the mother. In other words, the mother doesn't have to be included in this Kedusha. The second point is that if I'm mafresh achatas who's pregnant, so then the Kedusha is going to be going on the mother and on the offspring together and also independently. Good. So then that means that when the mother gives birth, I can choose which one I want to use. Both of these points of Rav Yochanan are necessary. Utsricha. Because if I only have the first point, in the first case where I surgically was makdish the fetus, so there you can make the argument that because I went directly at the fetus, so then the fetus is going to be kadosh. But in the second case where I makdish the mother, so maybe you can make the argument that the fetus is not going to be mukdash in of itself. Okay. That's one argument you can make. So and what Rav Yochanan clearly is doing is he's rejecting that argument. V'yashmin and Bas Raisa, if I only had the second case of the pregnant chatos, so hasam hu da'aktish v'chol di'isbei. So there you can make the argument that what am I being maktish? All of it, meaning the mother and its fetus. Avahacha da'aktish shelei kevin da'leisa abrai lo kaddish. But in the first case, I could have made the argument that I don't have the ability to maktish the fetus to the exclusion of the mother. And there's Rav Yochanan teaching us, no, you can. In other words, the fetus is such an independent entity, you can be makdish the fetus, even to the exclusion of the mother. Now, listen, Achrina, now this is Masechta Temura. Again, I remind everyone, myself included. And so therefore, we're going to get a lot of this. It's so far, I haven't kept a day count, but so far we strung together numerous days in which we've had a Lishna Achrina, another version of how to make over the same point. Lishna Achrina, my kamashmalan in shayir mashura v'uber laviyach imahu v'tarti lamali. That you can exclude in being makdish the ubar, and that an ubar is laviyach imo, it's not considered part and parcel of the mother. Tzricha, and I need both points. Diidmar baham mishum diime chada, I'm sorry, chazi legufe, so miga de nachta gedusha la, nachta nami levlat. If I'm makdish the mother, so then the fetus comes along for the ride. Ava idach lo, kamashmalan. But if I'm just being makdish the fetus to the exclusion of the mother, maybe that doesn't work. Rav Yochanan says it does. So, vi'i itmar, just give me a moment. Vi'i itmar baham mishum dekam mafresh kedusha al avlad. Aval hilo tzricha. And if I only had the case of the being makdish just the fetus, well, there I was just being makdish the fetus. But if I'm makdish the mother and the fetus is just simply coming along for the ride, so maybe it doesn't gain independent status. So therefore, Rav Yochanan is there to tell us, no, it does gain independent kedusha. Okay.
How does he have it both ways? If he's makdish the mother, then the fetus is hekdesh. I mean, you understand?
Yeah. I mean, well, no.
How does the fetus become?
According to Rav Yochanan, what you can do is you can also be makdish the mother to the exclusion of the fetus. You could do that as well.
But if you just say the mother, both of them are.
Yeah, in other words, if you say, well, my guess would be that you would have to at least recognize that there is a fetus inside so that you could be makdish the fetus as well. But his point is that you're going to be makdish the fetus as a separate entity from that of the mother, even though you're being makdish both. Okay. A couple of points to consider over here, some basic points. One, this is a davar shel bal olam. The fetus has not yet entered into this world. And generally speaking, ein adam makdish davar shel bal olam, ein adam makne davar shel bal olam. You cannot affect kedusha nor kinyanim on something that has not yet entered in this world. And over here, that's exactly what we're talking about. So, the Gemara does not raise this question. It's certainly a really good point to consider. There are suggestions that are given. I'm not going to go over the suggestions now, but I heard a number of suggestions. Another point just to take into consideration, and that is mechusar zman. You know, not only can you not offer a karban before it turns 8 days of age, you can't even be makdish it before it's 8 days of age. There's an isra in the Torah of offering a karban mechusar zman and even being makdish a karban mechusar zman. One can easily entertain the idea that if it's a fetus It's mechusar zman. It's premature. Tosfos over here deals with that question, and you can see Tosfos discussed that on the bottom Tosfos of the previous Amud that spills onto the Amud base. He discusses that issue, and he also gives a suggestion for that as well. So just some basic points to consider when discussing our case. But in the meantime, however, let's just deal with the core debate between Rav Yochanan and Bar Pada in terms of how to look at a fetus. Rav Yochanan, totally independent entity, halachically, obviously biologically. He's not arguing with the biology. He's just simply saying that halachically it's an independent entity. And according to Bar Pada, no, a totally dependent entity. In fact, it's so dependent, according to Bar Pada, I can't be makdish it in of itself because it doesn't, halacha doesn't recognize it in of itself. It only recognizes it as it only recognizes it as a limb of its mother. Yes, Reb Zera v'kamen lahashmaita eisvei Reb Yirmila Reb Zera. So here we go now with the questions. So let's start this morning with a series of questions. Number one, Ketzad Ma'arim Amala B'chor. Let's say your animal is going to be giving birth for its first time, Mazel Tov, and what's going to come out is a B'chor, and you don't want it to be a B'chor. Is there a way of changing that? So the answer, of course, is yes. We went back and go back to B'choros. Remember what we learned back then? What you can do is actually you can put a blemish in the animal in utero, and that'll prevent it from becoming a B'chor. Even though what I said is correct, it's not perfectly accurate what I'm saying. Meaning it is going to be a b'chor, it'll just simply be a b'chor ba'mum, which allows you to eat it. Is there a way of preventing it from becoming a b'chor altogether? So the answer is yes. Hamavakar shahaisa muberis omer masha be'mea shalzu ola, yalda zacha hareza ola. What you could do is you can beat the kedushas b'chor to the punch. When does the animal become a b'chor? Upon emergence. Oh, so here's what you do. In utero, you give it a new type of kedusha, carbonola. And by doing so, now, as it's emerging, it's going to become a bechor, no room. It already is a carbonola. Okay, so you sidestep bechor. Now, mind you, by the way, your grand design, your big scheme, doesn't really result that much. Because, okay, it's not a bechor coming out. It's carbonola. Okay. So, granted, it's not like...
Is it actually happening? If you put the ola, you take away b'chor?
Yeah, we just learned this. What do you mean? That's what the Gemara says. So, I raise the ola. Ama kadosh ubar. So, over here now, is this Mishnah not... It couldn't be any clearer. It's telling us that Rav Yochanan's right. Now, Rav Yochanan, Bar Pada, early generation Amoraim, but still, they're Amoraim. If I have a Mishnah that tells us that the fetus is becoming a carbon ola, where's the debate? How can Bar Pada entertain anything else? So Amarle, so the Gemara says, okay, but we'll defend Bar Pada. And we'll do a lot of defending Bar Pada. Because as you'll see, the Mishnayos really speak to Rav Yochanan more than they do to the Bar Pada. So Amarle, ki masni ayi b'kedushas damim. So the Gemara says that we're talking about that you were makdashit with kedushas damim. You didn't invest it with kedushas kuf, you invested with kedushas damim. Now kedushas damim, what could you be makdashit with kedushas damim? And the answer is, whatever you want. In other words, anything that has value, you can invest with Kedushas Damim. So the fetus inside is not going to be receiving Kedushas Sukkot. This is Bar Pada's defense. It's not going to be receiving Kedushas Sukkot, but it will receive Kedushas Damim. So the Gemara says, really? So mi alima Kedushas Damim dekam mafka lei mina bechora. So by you giving a Kedushas Damim, that's enough to prevent the Kedushas Bechor as it emerges? And the Gemara's answer is, yeah, that's right. Amar lay in. V'atanan kol kadoshim shekadam umkavu la'ekdesham v'niftu chayim v'bechora. Uvematanos. So we turn to a Mishnah that we saw on Daf Yidam Bechoros, that we also saw on Daf Kuf Lamed in Chulin. Now, yes, I cheated, but also I just went over the last three prakim this summer on the Masechtas of Chulin. So this Mishnah. This Mishnah, by the way, that we're quoting, gets a lot of playtime. Meaning it's just, we should be knowing every Mishnah. But this Mishnah in particular, like if we knew it backwards and forwards, like we'll get to, it has so many basic concepts of kachim. So this Mishnah over here says that if I have an animal that only has kedushas damim, and I redeem it, then and only then, if it gives birth, it's going to have, its firstborn is going to be a bechor. So what's the diuk? The diuk is actually very simple. It's very straightforward. Taima de la acher sheniftu, de chayavin. Aval kodem sheniftu, peturim. If the animal, while having kedushas damim, has given birth, because it has kedushas damim, ein kedusha chala al kedusha. The bechor is not the bechor animal that comes out is not going to have kedushas bechor because it already has kedushas damim. So to your question of, is Kedushas Damim enough to prevent Kedushas Bechor? The answer is, yes it is. Eizvei. Gemara challenges again. Let's say that I want to be makdish the fetus inside, but not the mother. So that's what I do. I'm makdish the fetus inside, not the mother. While the mother is pregnant walking around, can I shear the mother? Sure. There's an isser of giza va'avoda, but only on the carbon. The carbon right now is in utero. So my me shearing the mother, no problem. I'm not shearing the...
She's not the carbon.
Yeah, right. The mother's not the carbon. Can I work the mother? So here the answer is no, you can't. Because what you're doing when you're working the mother is that you are affecting the fetus as well. The fetus is considered part of what's being worked. The Gemara describes it as being chush ubar. You are weakening the fetus because of the work that you are straining the mother. So interesting. While the mother now is walking around with a carbon inside of her, so you can shear the mother, but you cannot work the mother because the working of the mother is considered working the fetus as well. So, great discussion. What was the assumption going in? You could be makdish the fetus inside to the exclusion of the mother. Again, screaming Rav Yochanan. So, hanami kedushas damim. So the Gemara says, well, again, we can offer an argument that maybe what you are makdish the fetus inside is not kedushas aguf, but kedushas damim. So, ami alima kedushas damim dasir le ba'avoda. So the Gemara says, what? In other words, you can't do avoda with kedushas damim. Amar la'in. The Gemara to that says, that's correct as well. Vatanan. Yodzin lechulin ligazdiz vileavid. So, again, we go back to that same Mishnah. Bechoros yedalad. Chulin kuflamid. And now we can also add Tamura Yud. But meaning in the Bechoros and the Chulin, it's actually in both places presented as a Mishnah. We'll go back to the same Mishnah. The Mishnah says it very clearly that if something has Kedushas Damim, so after I redeem it, so then I could do Giza Vavoda. So Tamim Mishum Diniftu, Hakam Shiniftu Asurim Vavoda. So that means to say that before it's redeemed, I can't do Avoda. I can't work it. Ama Kedushas Damim Asurle Vavoda. You can't do Avoda with something that has Kedushas Damim. Okay. So what do we have so far? A machlokus, a major machlokus between Bar Pada and Rav Yochanan. How to view a fetus, whether it's considered an independent entity or it's considered just an appendage to its mother. Can I be makdish the fetus independent of its mother? Rav Yochanan would say yes. Bar Pada would say no. And what if I'm makdish a pregnant chatas? Rav Yochanan says you were just makdish two carbon chatases at the same time. And the way the halacha will view them is that the second one will be lachrayus. And so therefore, when I use one, the other one does not have to die. This does not fall under the category of a Vlad Chatas, which is Holech Lemisa. And now, after having introduced ourselves to these two opinions of Bar Paz and Rav Yochanan, so the discussion began. And so we began the discussion today, finishing up most of today's daf, going through the various Mishnayos. And so far, every Mishnah really speaks to Rav Yochanan, that you can be Makdish Fetus inside of the mother and to the exclusion of the mother. Really, the Mishnayos seem to say that, but so far we have successfully defended Bar Pada and all the Mishnayos. It will come a point in time in tomorrow's daf, where basically the number of sourcing and Mishnayos and Brisos are going to be many. What we're going to end up doing tomorrow is we're going to be restructuring the Machlokas between Bar Pada and Rav Yochanan. That's coming up tomorrow. In the meantime, at least an initial presentation of the Machlokas.